If the law exposes every heart and shows our need for grace, not achievement, why are people tempted to substitute religious effort for the transforming power of faith in Jesus Christ alone? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I am so glad that you are listening in today as we grow in God's Word together, because we want to change our hearts so that we change the public square. If you're enjoying these daily devotions, especially maybe this series, None Righteous, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, place in that huddle in that Washington Defender app. It is important for the algorithms. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much for your generosity. We're going to dive into God's Word here, and it's on our in our series called None Righteous, Accountable to God. Romans 3:20 says, "Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin." So let's just start out with, no one's going to be justified in the sight of God by the law. Jew, Gentile, Greek, barbarian, nobody. So what does it say in Galatians? He kind of, Paul specifies what he's talking about. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Now, think about the question. Think about the answer. They heard about Jesus Christ. They received the Spirit by hearing and faith, not by the works of the law. "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh or by the law? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Do you see that pattern there? He keeps asking this question. Why in the world do you think that you started out by hearing through faith and now you're going back to the law? "Even so, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." Now, this is important because the law came in Moses' day, some 500 years after Abraham, maybe a little bit longer than that. But we see that Abraham got made right in the sight of God, or was made right in the sight of God by faith through grace. He believed God and it was credited or reckoned to him as righteous. 500 years later, the law comes. And so he's making this argument. "Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham." So faith came first, law came second. "The scriptures," the scriptures, "foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham." Now, what's really cool about this is in Abraham's day, God foresaw that he was going to make Abraham a great nation in a covenant relationship that is everlasting with Almighty God. And he foresaw the time of the Gentiles and that the Gentiles would be saved by faith. So what did God do? He preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. What gospel? How many gospels are there? There's one gospel: death, burial, resurrection, appearance. If you go to read Hebrews chapter 11 really closely, you're going to find out that it states very clearly that Abraham believed in the resurrection. When he offered up his son Isaac, he believed that Isaac would raise from the dead. So he says this: "Preach the gospel before all the nations will be blessed in you." That was a preaching of the gospel. "So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them.' Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith, and on the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law." Okay, so what we're understanding in Romans is that no one's justified by the law. We're understanding that God started out with the gospel with Abraham. Moses brought the law, the Ten Commandments. So we're seeing that Christ redeemed us from the law of Moses. And it says, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So Christ hung on a tree, on the cross, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. What? In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Do you see how when Jesus said the time of the Gentiles fulfilled, here it's talking about the time of the Gentiles, it's so that that blessing may come to him, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we have this faith. So brethren, I speak to you in human terms, even though it is only I, a man's covenant. Yet when it has been ratified, no one set aside or adds condition to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not to say and to seeds as referring to many, but rather to one. And to your seed, that is Christ. So remember, Adam's seed was in all of humanity. Faith stepped into Abraham, and Abraham had Adam's seed, and that all that came through to Christ, into Christ's humanity as well, that seed, that sinfulness. Now, when Christ came through, we see that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, removing the sin of Adam and placing in a holy seed. So God, Christ was fully God and yet fully man. So that is so powerful. What am I saying is this? The law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God. This is so important for those of you who are believing in replacement theology, or that Israel is not God's chosen people, those kind of things. Look at this concept he's saying. The law, 430 years later, did not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise, but God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. I would encourage you, go back and study this very, very closely. It is incredibly, incredibly important that we understand that God's promise to Abraham still stands. Why the law then? It was added because of transgression. Having been ordained through the angels by the agency of mediators until the seed would come to whom the promise has been made. So the law was added because of transgression. Now, a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based upon the law. So he's saying, listen, that law cannot impart righteousness. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ. But the scripture has shut up everyone under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. So here we find the very purpose of the law. The law is our schoolmaster or our tutor to lead us to Christ. So when you read the law and it says, thou shalt not steal, and you know that you've stolen something, you need a savior. It's Jesus. Thou shalt not lie, and you've told a lie, you need a savior. It's Jesus. Thou shalt not commit adultery nor lust, and you've had lust in your heart, and or you've committed adultery, homosexuality, all the rest, you need a savior. It's Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. You need a savior. It's Jesus Christ. And you've set up false idols. So it's our schoolmaster. It points us to Jesus Christ. And that's why it says that his law is written upon our conscience or our hearts. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So this is important. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourself with Christ. So important. You are clothed with Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And he is saying to us, he's not saying by this statement that Abraham's covenant was nullified. He's saying there's only salvation through one, Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs of according to the promise. So what's our application today? Recognize that the law's true purpose is to lead you to Christ. Number two, live by faith, not by works, and embrace unity and inheritance of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as we step into our workplace today that we will recognize that we are saved by faith through grace. And Lord, when the Holy Spirit convicts us and shows us that we are breaking God's law, that we would turn to you in repentance and bow our heart, our knees, and our actions to you to surrender our lives completely over to you and say, God, you're right, we're wrong, we need a Savior, we need you. So go before us in all things, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.